What's up, brothers and sisters? Just a quick intro into this episode. I speak with Tom Owens on this one. He was a project manager, project engineer for American Bridge for 36 years. There's a little bit of audio issues at the beginning of the episode. I apologize for that, but I get them fixed pretty quickly. And then Tom is a little bit of a hard hearing, so there's some spots where I ask him a couple times the same question, especially what his name was. And how I found Tom, or how I was able to talk with Tom, was that his son reached out to me on Instagram after I made a post about the New River Gorge Bridge in West Virginia that was constructed by American Bridge in the 1970s. I took the opportunity to ask Tom how that project went. Tom worked on several projects that are pretty special throughout the country. And so this is a guy that that has seen a lot of things in his lifetime, and I really enjoyed this conversation, and I really think you will too. So with that being said, brothers and sisters, please check us out on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all the above, and I really appreciate everybody's support and listening to the podcast. Be safe. Yes, sir. My name is Paul Diaz with Chasing the Hook podcast. I spoke with your son, Jack. He said to reach out to you. You are a project manager on the New River Gorge Bridge.
That is correct. And his name is Scott.
Scott. For some reason, sir, I'm going by what his social media name was. I apologize for that, sir. What's your name? He never really gave me your name, sir.
What is that, sir?
What's your name?
Owens.
It's nice to meet you, sir. My name's Paul.
Okay, Paul.
So
he told me my son told me you were gonna call.
Yes, sir. Is it a good time to talk?
Sure.
I'm recording, Owens, if that's okay, just so I can obviously put this on my podcast, if that's okay. So some of the first questions, Owens, is you were a project manager on the New River Gorge Bridge. What was that project like?
Pardon me?
What was that project like?
That was the most difficult job I ever worked on.
Is that due to, like, why do you say that, Owens?
Because it was a world record at the time we built the bridge. It was 3,030 feet long, and it was across this very deep gorge from the top of the roadway to the river was 876 feet. And we built a 1,700-foot arch there, and then the deck trusses on top of it. We used two 330-foot towers in a cableway, and they were spaced apart and staggered so that we could lift to the right or the left to get to the width of the bridge. And just the magnitude of getting the cableways up and getting it ready to erect was very, very difficult.
So, were you a project manager for American Bridge by chance, Owen, or what company did you work for?
I worked for American Bridge, Division of U.S. Steel, and then later American Bridge Company.
Well, can I ask how long were you with them prior before working on the New River Gorge? Were you with them for quite a while?
I started to work for American Bridge in 1960.
1960. Wow. So with that being said, Owen, some of the things I've always heard about American Bridge was obviously their invention of, like, are their, the way that they did things, their engineering, how sharp they were when they planned their job. So with that being said, Owens, you said this was one of the most difficult jobs that you did. How long was the planning process before you actually got to the job?
I was assigned to the project in July of 1973. I came off of the second Chesapeake Bay Bridge out of Annapolis. I left there, went to Pittsburgh, and started working on the erection plans for the New River. And I went to the job site, I don't know, I guess it was February, March of 74. And I was there for 3 years and then into Pittsburgh to finish up the paperwork and to finalize the contract.
Wow. So like when you guys first started directing, so I spoke to an iron worker, Don Vick Sr. Do you remember working with him, Owen?
I remember the name.
Okay. And he told me kind of the same thing about the difficulties of constructing that arch. Can you kind of talk about like what the process of that was and some of the difficulties that you ran into?
Well, it was a major operation just to get the cableway up and getting it functioned. It was set up that each cableway, they were 16 foot apart in both directions so that they could love to right or left to get the width of the bridge. They were set up to pick 50 tons each, and we had a balance beam to go between them that would allow a 100-ton lift. We had one piece in the bridge that started off the arch that weighed 94 tons.
That's a lot of weight there. So did you guys use Owens, I think I read this, but correct me if I'm wrong, sirs. Did you guys obviously use a helicopter to start the cableway line across the gorge? I mean, that seems like the only logical way to get it across, but maybe I'm wrong.
We had a helicopter, took a half-inch line, I think it was, across the gorge, get the first cable across there. And then from there, we progressively got larger cables. The gut cables for the high line was 3-inch cables. And we worked progressively up from the helicopter line to the 3-inch cables.
Okay. Did you guys erect the false work as well before you started erecting the arch, Owen?
Say that again, please.
Did you guys, so I know that you had to erect some false work towers to support the bridge initially. Did you guys construct the false work first before you started erecting the arch?
I don't recall this the false work term.
A tower to support the arch on either end to the cantilever part until the bridge actually took the weight.
Okay, what we did is we erected the approaches on both ends of the bridge before the arch started. And then we started erecting the arch, which we had a tieback system, which consisted of on each corner of 4 9 5/8 OD all-wheel casing. And that went into a big, heavy concrete anchor with 500-ton jacks. And then come from the approach, we had a rocker system set up, and from there we had cables that ran from there down to the arch to support that, and we progressively erected out and added cables to support that.
Okay. Did you guys, so I saw some footage, Owen, of like you guys obviously built some bents or some pre-built sections of the bridge and then truck them in? Is that kind of how you guys did it? It just seemed like there wasn't enough erecting, lay down area for you guys to just, I didn't think you guys stick built it, right? You didn't do it one piece at a time.
Well, we erected the piers, and then with the, what I would call deck truss sections was pre-assembled on the, on land. And we would take one section pier to pier out with a cable way and erect it and fill in with a fill-in iron, to get the approaches erected. The arch was erected a piece at a time.
Oh, okay. So with that being said, Owen, like, once were the iron workers on site from the beginning? I'm not exactly sure how they did it back then, but I just know that all I've ever seen was the iron workers out there.
Say that again, please.
How long were the iron workers on the job from the start? Did they help drag the cable stay line across the gorge? Did they do all that work, or did another trade do that work in those days?
No, American Bridge had the full responsibility of erecting the cableway and the bridge itself. The iron workers were on the job from the onset in trying to erect the towers, the 330-foot towers, and get the cables across there to get the cableway functional. So they were there from the very beginning.
So with that being said, Owen, like, once you guys started erecting, can you just kind of talk briefly about some of the initial, was there any problems, obviously, at the beginning, or what was the most difficult problem you faced in the early days of the bridge?
Well, getting the towers erected, because being 330 foot tall, and they were set in the cut for the roadway, which was several feet deep from the bank on the side. But getting the towers erected, because you really were outside the reach of the crane, and so that we had a kind of a, I don't know, I call it a jigger pole to erect the towers, but that was difficult. And then getting the 3-inch cables across and getting them into place and getting the cableway functional was very difficult.
Wow. So once you got the towers erected, Owen, and then you started working on the arch, can you kind of talk about, like, once you guys started getting towards the center of the arch, when they were going to start to connect, can you kind of talk about that day when you guys were leading up to the topping out of the arch?
Okay. Once we got the arch erected out to the point we just had one cord link left to install, with the jacking system and the cables that were holding up the arch, we had to put it in a little high position, or had the arch just a little bit high so that when we slacked down, we could fill in the fill-in piece. That particular day, we were getting ready to erect that last piece. The night before we were going to put that piece in there, we had those four 9 3/8, 9 5/8 all-rail casings that were holding up the arch. And it was calculated that we needed three of them in place to support the arch. Well, we went home that night getting ready for the next day to set the closure. And one of those pieces, one of those pipes, broke on the one corner. And that really throwed everything into a tizzy. But the American Bridge decided that we were going to go ahead and close the next morning, although the state was objectionable to that. Anyhow, the next day it broke out nice and bright and chilly, and the bridge was shaking a little bit, you know, just from expansion. But we went ahead and we put the pieces in and started jacking down to close. We probably got, I don't know, I'm guessing 60% of the weight closed in the bridge, and we quit for the day. And that night, a second casing on the opposite corner broke. And so the next day we were out there all day jacking down to a point where it was solid, and there was no point of it getting away from us.
Wow. Well, I guess my next question is, what was the feeling like once you got the rest of the cords in and the bridge took the weight? What was that feeling like for, I guess, the entire gang or the entire project?
It was a tremendous feeling. I don't know how to express it other than it was just a great, great feeling knowing that we had closed it and everything was in place, so it was locked in. We knew it was safe then. Everything was tied together and fit up, so it was a tremendous feeling.
That's such an awesome story, Owen. What was it like? Were you obviously there when, did they have a big celebration once you guys completed the project and opened the bridge? Was there like a big walk across or anything like that? Or did nobody even make a fuss about the greatest arch in the world at that time?
Well, it was not a big celebration when we closed the arch, but when we finalized the bridge, in October of 77 and opened it to traffic, there was a big celebration then. The governor was down there, politicians, U.S. Steel's big people. The bridge was closed down and is to traffic, and it was open to public, and there was all kind of bands and people there that day, dignitaries to dedicate the bridge. So it was a good day.
That's awesome, Owen. The next question, sir, if we can, what was it like to work for American Bridge? I know it's a lot different nowadays, but back in those days, it was basically an iron worker company. Or at least in my eyes, or in my what I know of it. But can you talk about what it was like to work for American Bridge in those days?
Well, I started out in 1960 working in a drawing room, making drawings for fabricated steel down in Orange, Texas. And later I switched over to construction. In my opinion, American Bridge was probably the best steel erector in the business. Bethlehem was a big competition, and they were very, very good. American Bridge had a system set up for their drawing rooms and even for their erection crews and everything. It was very, very well organized. They had manuals on all the cranes. They had their own design false work. They just had a tremendous amount of equipment that had been developed over the years. They had been in business since the early 1900s. And I think, in my opinion, having worked 36 and a half years for them, that they were the best in the business, the best organized, and the best in the business.
That's I've heard that more than once, Owen. So you also mentioned, sir, that you were a project manager on the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, the second one. Can you kind of talk to us a little about that?
Well, I went to Baltimore in July of 1970. At that point, I was the project engineer, and I had worked in Birmingham in the district office for about 9 months working up the erection procedure for the Chesapeake Bay. I went to the job site and I was there for 3 years. The latter part of the job, the project manager was promoted to New York and I was promoted to his position. We did things there that, I thought was kind of amazing because we built spans on false work on two barges and floated it all the way from the Baltimore Harbor down to the bridge site, which was 22 miles, and floated in position, pumped the barges down, landed the span on the piers and kept pumping and pulled the false work out. And we did that several times. There was five different kinds of bridges in that job. There was straight girders, curb girders, deck trusses, through trusses, and a 1,600-foot suspension bridge.
Wow, that's unreal. That's amazing. The only thing I could compare it to on, so I live here in Oregon, so I've seen footage. American Bridge erected the Astoria Bridge over the Columbia River, and they kind of did the same thing where they floated bridge sections up to Columbia onto the piers. I would assume that's kind of the same system that you did at the Chesapeake Bay.
Well, I don't know about Oregon, but like I said earlier, American Bridge had an excellent system with their equipment and everything, and they had a very good engineering section to support the construction side. It was a very, very well organized company.
Hey, Owen, so like one of the other questions that I've always, I guess you're the guy to ask because you're the engineer. So when you guys floated those bridge sections up, how did you guys figure out, like, how did that system work? Obviously, when I look at that, I see a top heavy type, you know, that bridge section had to weigh tons and tons. And so like, how does that work when you have a heavy bridge section like that on top of stilts, basically floating down the river? How does that work?
Well, you started out, you had a book that's published by the government with tides, and we put our own tide gauge there at the bay, and we checked it every day and compared it to what the published tide book said so that you knew how the tides were relating. You had to calculate, you had your spans that you were floating on two 40 by 180 foot barges that were 20 foot apart with beams. And then you erected this false work tower on top of that, taking into account the weight and everything that you had to figure. You had to calculate the top of the span as it's floating. And these barges were set up with a 10-inch pumping system so that you could pump water in and out of the barges as required. You calculated all this to get your elevation right. So when you floated into the job site to the pier, you went in at a high tide and you got your span positioned and guide cables put in place so that you could control it to set down on the anchor bolts. And then you started, the tide would be falling at that point. You started pumping water into the barges, and you continue pumping with the tide falling, and you set the pier down on the anchor bolts, continue pumping, and you cleared the span with the false work and then pulled your barges out. Your span was set in place, and it was all you had to do is put the bolts on the anchor bolts, the nuts on the anchor bolts, and you were good for that span.
Yeah, that's man, you made that sound so easy, Owen. That's an amazing story as well. I'm assuming that's the same type of process for like looking back in history on American Bridge had their own S1 derrick on towers on a barge. Is that the same type of process with a derrick on a tower working on the water?
Okay. American Bridge had a 60-foot square tower that would go up 240 feet. And then they put their big derrick, which was an S1 stiff leg derrick, they erected that on top of the tower, which was, again, on those two barges that I mentioned before, separate barges, but like barges. That gave them the height and the reach for erecting the spans. And that S1 derrick, I think, if I remember right, had like a maximum of like a 130-foot boom and a jib. So that was used to erect the steel and especially on the suspension bridge, because the towers were 350 foot high, something like that. I can't remember. But anyhow, they had other derricks. They had smaller derricks, and they had smaller towers. And it was all part of their standard equipment that you could call into the storehouse there and get set up for what you needed.
Yep, that's I've always heard that too. What was it like? Did you complete the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, Owen? What was the topping out day like for that bridge?
I was not there. Like I said earlier, I left for Pittsburgh in July of 73.
Okay.
And the bridge was not quite finished at that point.
Okay. So after the new River Gorge Bridge, Owen, where did you find did you go work on another project?
Well, after New River, I was sent to the Pittsburgh office, which was the main office in the east. And there I was assigned at that point to look after repair and maintenance work in the steel mills around Pittsburgh. I did that for a while, and then I was reassigned to look out to various different projects that were coming up in the future, which I did several bridges and buildings in the Pittsburgh area. We did the PPG World Headquarters, which was six buildings. It was a 40-story tower and some 15-story buildings there right in the city of Pittsburgh. I did several bridges. I did some work in Ohio, also in Chicago area. And I looked after various different projects as a project manager type thing or a project engineer type thing, looking after the erection of the four different projects at a time.
Wow. And then one of the, during your career, Owen, did you have a favorite iron worker superintendent that you like to work with?
Yeah, you always had a favorite. I had a couple.
Okay. Do you mind talking about them?
Well, I had one, his name was Roger Larson, and Roger was, he was a very, very talented man. I had known him since the early 60s. We met up in South Dakota, and then we wound up working up in Connecticut on the Minas Bridge, and then down in Galveston on a bridge there for the railroad. But Roger and I was good friends, and I'll tell you what, he was a very smart superintendent. There was another guy, his name was Jack White, And he and I grew up about 15, 20 miles apart down in Texas. I run into him in the Dakotas working on the missile bases. And Jack and I worked several jobs together over the years. And we both wound up in Pittsburgh. And I guess he was probably, because I knew him the longest, and we had some connections from Texas, I guess he probably was the guy that I was closest to.
Okay. And Owen, you mentioned the missile or the Minuteman missile sites. That's something I don't think a lot of people are nowadays even know about. Can you kind of talk about what that is and what part you had in that?
Well, when I was sent to South Dakota, there was a Minuteman facility which consisted of 150 missiles and 10 control sites built around Rapid City, which was a SAC base. And I was sent up there just as a field engineer and was assigned to, you know, setting certain pieces of the missiles, like the side tubes, which was the guidance system, and the closure doors, which was the big doors that they blasted off to fire the missile. So it was a matter of just doing survey work and coordinate with the superintendents and the iron workers to make sure that we did not hold them up. And I moved through all three sites. It was three sites, each with 50 missiles. I moved through all three sites, and then I was sent to Birmingham to work up another job.
Do you remember what time span that was, Owen? Was that in the 60s or the 50s or the 70s?
No, South Dakota, I think, was 63.
Okay. And I'm sure, for some of the people who might listen to this, South Dakota can get cold in the wintertime. Am I correct?
Say that again, please.
I said it can get cold in South Dakota in the wintertime, correct?
Yeah. I never took the coat out of my truck.
Oh, that's funny, Owen. And then, sir, last question, just kind of like something I always like to ask people when I talk to them is like, what would you tell a kid, you know, who might want to be a project engineer for a big steel erector outfit, or somebody who a kid who wants to get in the trades? What would you tell that kid?
That's a hard question. First of all, I kind of think it's got to be in your blood. You know, when I went to construction, I had no idea what I was getting into. I had no knowledge of it at all. But I knew that if I stayed in the drawing room, that I wasn't going anywhere. Somebody had to die for to get a good promotion. And construction offered a raise to switch over and opportunities to advance, which I jumped at. And fortunately, I got some really good breaks, and I found out that I really liked what I was doing. And it just, like I said, I think it's got to be in your blood, and it's a whole different world now than when I did it.
Yeah.
Much, much different. I think today's application has taken all the, how did I say, romance or thrill out of it as compared to what we did back in the day. I'll tell you this, though, I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Hell yeah, Owen. Something that just came up, Owen, I'm not sure if you, I mean, I'm sure you know, but the key bridge that collapsed in Baltimore, what do you think about that?
Well, I was remotely involved in a similar situation many years ago in the early 70s down in Florida. We built a bridge there across Chesapeake Bay, not Chesapeake Bay, Tampa Bay, which was the twin to one that American Bridge had built earlier. And after the bridge was completed and opened to traffic, a ship come in and took out the pier and took out the bridge, just a similar situation to what happened there in Baltimore. That's very, very tragic. And it's going to have a big, big effect on shipping out of Baltimore and moving the merchandise.
Yep. Well, I appreciate your time, sir. And I would love to keep in touch with you on. I'm fascinated by American Bridge's story. It's just kind of one of those things I found myself getting into. But I appreciate your time, sir.
Well, I enjoyed talking to you. I hope this was helpful.
It was, Owen. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy this one.
Sir.
All right. Well, you have a great day, sir. And I will. I'll reach out from time to time.
Okay, that'd be great.
Have a good one, sir.
Thank you.